couple other things. Your memory verse on the top right-hand corner is Matthew 9:37-38, and it's perfect in line with what we were just talking about, and also in line with what John will be talking about. And what was the fella from Japan? What was his name? Dave? What he talked about 2 weeks ago. The harvest is happening around the world, and that includes Edmonton, and it includes Northern Alberta, and we're going to hear more about that today. Brown Break prayer meeting is this afternoon. If you're free and you've brought your lunch, if you're free and you haven't brought your lunch, that's okay. I'm sure someone will share. And if not, Burger Baron is just down the road. Now, I'm going to recommend that if you have a BlackBerry or if you have an iPhone and your schedule is on it, take it out right now and erase every appointment you have on June 17th, 18th, and 19th. Because if you don't have anything to be doing, there's lots to be doing that weekend. If you're inclined to go out to Meadow Lodge and feed the mosquitoes, they do need help out there for cleanup. They will be doing the cleanup on the 17th until the 19th, and then celebrating a cafe of sorts to remember the 50 years that Meadow Lodge has been serving the Edmonton and area. And speaking of Meadow Lodge, there's camper applications are in the next room. If you have kids that are old enough for camp, if you yourself are a kid who's old enough for camp, or you know somebody who has children who are old enough for camp, then take an application and fill it out. And then the other reason you need to clear your schedule is because on the 18th, that's the Saturday after Friday the 17th before Sunday the 19th, we are, as a congregation, we're also participating in the large item pickup for the neighborhood. Bethel has participated in this for years, and in recent years we've had difficulty fielding people to come on out. It is a fun day of getting dirty and touching things you probably don't want to think about. But at the end of the day, it makes a big difference to this neighborhood, and it's a very prominent ministry, and it's to the point, I think, where the people who organize it actually actively seek Bethel out as a source for volunteers, and it's an opportunity to really put our feet on the ground when it comes to serving this neighborhood. So if you're not able to get out to Meadow Lodge on the 17th or and be there out for the 18th as well, do clear your Saturday at the very least. We can certainly use you here. If you have any interest in that or not, come talk to me before I come talk to you, because certainly one of those two will happen. And then last but not least, if you like flowers and you want to know how to make them look pretty, you should talk to Sophie or Diane. We're going to continue singing. We should know the next song really, really well. It's an oldie and it's certainly a goodie. So please sing out.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Let's sing it again.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
going to ask that you stand on the opening bars of the next song, and if you're able, please remain standing for the next few. They are certainly apropos to the theme that we've been talking about in the last several weeks and we'll be hearing more of today.
Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. The fields are wide unto harvest, but oh, the labors are so few. So, Lord, I want to help in the reaping, to gather precious souls unto you. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. The time is right in the nation for works of power and authority. God's looking for a people who are willing to be counted in his glorious victory. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. As salt are we ready to savor, in darkness are we ready to be light. God's seeking out a very special people to manifest his truth and his might. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord.
Oh, wrong, huh?
No, not by might, nor even power, but by your Spirit, O Lord. Healer of hearts, binder of restore. No, not by might, nor even power, but by your Spirit, O Lord. Healer of hearts, binder of wounds, lies that are lost, restore. Flow through this land till every man praises your name once more.
It's the song of the redeemed rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns,
he reigns.
Let it rile the four winds caught up in the heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. And all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. And all the power of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. And all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. Saw God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns,
he reigns.
It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah,
he reigns,
he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns,
he reigns.
It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. Past the outer courts and through the holy place, past brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take me the outer courts and through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priests who sing their praise. Hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am.
All right, the next couple songs we're going to do, we know really well here. We're going to do them We haven't done them this way in a little while. We're going to sing through the, I don't know what you want to call the verse of the chorus. They're both only four lines long. But we're going to sing through one and then the other and then one and then the other. But we're not doing the common bridge that you often hear in a lot of contemporary services where they repeat holy, 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 holy. We're going to go from that into the hymn, holy, 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 and sing it the way it should be. So, go ahead, Paul.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining light of your glory, pour out your power and love, as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Now,
see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise.
In your hymn books.
Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim
looks like we lost the lyrics for that one.
It's number 262 in your hymn books.
Well, now we're going to continue with verse 3 once you've all had a chance to find it, because this song's too good to leave unfinished. All right. Verse 3, holy, 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 number 262. Ah, now they're on the screen.
Holy, 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 though the darkness hides. Sinful man, thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity.
merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Thank you. Please be seated. I was really hoping that we were going to be able to show you folks this morning that I'd found online from the American Bible Society, in keeping with the theme of taking the good news to not just people around the world, but particular indigenous populations that have either been maligned in the past by institutions calling themselves Christians, or just completely ignored by them. And unfortunately, we can't get the video to run, but I'll give you a quick synopsis of it, then I'll really encourage you to look it up. If you do want to look it up, incidentally, the name of the tribe is Kichwa, that's Q-U-I-C-H-U-A, Kanyar, that's C-A-N with a squiggly mark above it, A-R. Search for that and look for the video. In March of this year, they finally received the Bible in their dialect. The Bible has not yet gone out to every tribe and every nation. They're still working on translating it into dialects throughout South America, throughout much of Africa, and much of Asia, and India. There are hundreds of dialects that have yet to have the scriptures in them. And a lot of these people in many areas have already been exposed to the gospel, and some are already Christians, but haven't had the privilege of reading the Bible in their own language. And this video is about 4 minutes, 3 minutes long, shows the celebration that they had when the American Bible Society took the Bible to them in their dialect. And there were over 3,000 Christians that showed up, and they were exuberant in their joy. You know, when you give somebody a Bible here, oh, thank you, what a nice gift. There, oh, no, it's extraordinary. They are, in many respects, many of them were beyond words. For some of them, they didn't even have words in their own language to express what they believed. And now they finally have that opportunity. And they get to take the scriptures back into their communities in the highlands of Ecuador and share the gospel with people that perhaps due to mobility or age or what have you have not had the chance to be exposed to it. So this is something to do, to continue to keep in your prayers. The work's not done. We've had it in English for centuries, and that's something that I think we've taken for granted. Many tribes around the world are still just learning to enjoy this. So once again, if you want to look it up online, I do encourage you, Kichwa Kanyar. Q-U-I-C-H-A-R-C-A-N with a squiggly mark, A-R. We're going to pray for John and the message he's going to bring, then we're going to sing one more song. Thank you, Lord, that you have not forgotten about any tribe, any nation, that you hear prayers in every language, that it doesn't matter how people say God or how they say the name of your son, but that if they call on you in any one of those languages, in any way they say it, you'll hear their prayer. And that if they call on the name of your son, Jesus Christ, in their language or in any language, they'll be saved. Thank you for the many thousands of dedicated scholars and missionaries around the world who are continuing to take seriously your call to take the gospel to every corner of the earth. That they see the harvest that's white, and they're putting themselves often in harm's way to participate in that reaping. Thank you that we don't have to look very far, that we can simply turn our eyes north and we see missionaries up there doing it in northern Alberta, doing the same thing, working hard and tirelessly that to fulfill that which is on our country's coat of arms, that you will have dominion from sea to shining sea. And in many respects, there are many places in Canada where your good news, unadulterated by politics and denomination, has not yet been heard. We look forward to hearing what John has to share with us today from your word, and also about the work in Northern Alberta amongst our First Nations people here. And we ask that you would, as he's coming to speak, that you would empower him to not just share what's happening, but also to put it in a way that will motivate us, that will exhort us, that will remind us to keep working and keep on keeping on, that the work's not finished until Gabriel blows his horn. Thank you that we can do this, and that even if we're in harm's way, that it's only our bodies that are here. Our souls are protected for eternity, bathed in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing one more song. Oh, right, I'm sorry. Thanks for reminding me, George. I'd forgotten about the elders. I was supposed to do this many minutes ago. The elders have something they'd like to say. Come on up, Frank and George. Oops.
Okay. You sure?
Beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Now, if there are children that are sage, they we can wander out as John wanders up. Come on, John.
Testing one. Okay, good. Well, it's so good to be with you folks today. I would like to take about 30 minutes just to share with you a number of things. It's so good to come back to Alberta. It was in November 2nd that we began living in the Central Field. Central Field is Saskatchewan, Manitoba, part of Ontario. And since we last spoke here, there's been many changes in our life. We've become empty nesters. And so going from a house where we can cook lots and it gets eaten up to also, my, we really have to change our cooking habits here. That's just two of us and we must eat like mice or something. And another thing, going from where you meet people every day that you know well to living in a town where we didn't know anyone a year ago. Nobody, we're strangers there. And going from Western Field here where we knew lots of churches and stuff to there where we know very few, that's a major change. And from Western Field where we would get together with our missionaries at least every year, now we're in Central Field where we met them maybe once a year at a general Canada-wide conference. We knew their names, but not much more. And so, for example, one family that we got, that we are nurturing and caring for in Manitoba, we're wondering, so where do your kids live? Like, they're about 65. Where do your kids live? We found out they don't have children. Oh. So we're getting to know our missionaries that we're responsible for their nurture and care of. But anyway, it's so good to be here. When my son Andrew and his wife and I, we were driving back from Missions Fest Vancouver, we stopped in at Parker's, and that's another huge blessing that Timothy, our youngest son, gets to live with Parker's these winters as he's going to Nate. That's just a huge blessing. We're so thankful. Anyway, we had stopped in to see Timothy and exchange some things, and then Frank said, could you speak with us? And we're looking in our calendars when something would jive, and it was May, from January to May. So that's why we're here now at this time of the year. But yeah, anyways, we're just so thankful to be here and so good to be with people that love us and we love you guys. and your church. Just looking around, it was just neat to hear the piano playing in the last service. And I don't know you, but thank you for playing. I really enjoyed that. In the church we've attended the last 18 years, I never heard a live piano once. Not once. And so that was a blessing. Can you tell Anna thank you for taking that young girl beside her? I thought she would be here this meeting, but I don't see her. That is so neat to see. Bridging the generations and including them, that is so neat to see. What I would like to do, I'd like to take about 10 minutes to show a PowerPoint and 10 minutes to open up the Word to us and 10 minutes to show you about one of my trips. I'm on the road most of the over half the time. My neighbor said to me across the road, "You're never home." Well, yeah, mostly I'm gone. But I'd like to show you one trip, which was a 9-day trip about missions. Okay, if you can get the... Oh, it is there already. Don't start it yet. Evelyn wanted me to explain. This is the very first PowerPoint she has made. She was working on it to refine it as we were coming. And our computer ran into troubles. We took it to Apple on the south end of the city. And in the process there, we think that all the changes she made as we were traveling here got lost. But they said our computer's ready, but it's there and we're here. And so we'll go with what was and enjoy it. Okay, if you can start it. I'm not sure if the sound will come on it or not, but we'll see. The lights can come off. I guess we lost the sound. The church at Good Fish with no piano. Central Field had no Central Field director, so we were asked if we would go and help there. They'd been without for probably a year and a half, and church planting is our main ministry, so we accepted and we're over there. This is our new home. That's the newness, and we're going to get it wrinkled out.
I had slowed it down on the way back, and now
we lost it yesterday at the computer shop.
Some of the missionaries that we're responsible for in our business.
But in his 70s, and the other one was newlyweds, a single lady missionary, a single guy missionary. Isn't that something? That's on a sign outside their reserve, "In God We Trust." Getting there by barge in the winter. That's their church, a trailer. This is a family that has no kids. Really neat. They see their Wednesday night Bible study. Different tribes. This one was Soto. We're going to visit them tomorrow, that family. This is a Dene guy who took me on that 9-day trip. They still live like that today, making dry meat there. I lived in that fort for a couple of days. Some roads there are 100 feet wide, others are 150 feet wide, but they get blown shut. The road cracked open and we couldn't go. We had to stay there. They were taking in aviation fuel on a winter road to our cache that was depleted. Having a Bible study with a Bible study chart. By the way, Frank, I learned about that from you, that big book from Chapters. Yeah. That's at KBI in March. This is a Bible camp committee at Prince Albert. This is in Okotoks, a training for all the field directors. There we are, the field directors. Thank you. That's a fast 10 minutes. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Frank had asked me somewhere I saw an email after it had come asking me for a verse for this, for today and stuff like that, and I was slow getting back to him, and then I phoned him yesterday as we were traveling here, and he said, it's too late for your verse. I said, oh, that's okay. And I said, well, what verse did you pick? And he said, the last two verses of Matthew 9. I said, that was the verses that I had wanted. God put it together without us even communicating. I want to speak today about learning about missions from Christ. He is the greatest missionary. He left home and came this far and lived with us in our culture, so to speak, like the culture of this world. And he is our example. And what could we learn? There's many things in these few verses, Matthew 9, starting at verse 35, but there's many things we can learn, but I'd like to look at just four this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's holy, and it is the bread of life, and Lord, we want to hear you speak to our hearts, young and old. All of us, Lord, your word is for everyone seated here this morning. So Lord, open up your word to our hearts and just speak to us. And Lord, we want to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when they saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I'm not here to say that you're not involved in missions. I know you are. That's what I like about your church. You're involved locally and abroad. I like that. And I think that we need to be, and well, not I think, I know that we need to be repeating and teaching each generation as it comes along through the church. Because as the older ones are dying off, like Margaret's husband is no longer here, and others are here whom I've never seen, like Emma, who I met this morning for the first time. We're all on that conveyor belt coming through. And we need to continually be teaching God's word. And even for those who know God's word, to be reminded of things and brushing up on things. And as we move on through life, we realize that missionaries are getting older and falling off the conveyor belt. And we need new ones to come on to be missionaries. The last time I was in Edmonton was about 2 weeks ago for the funeral of one of our missionaries who was 95. He prayed for 105 people every day. Every day. We need prayer warriors. The Bible says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth reapers. The four things I would like to look at today is, four things I learned about Jesus from this passage is, one, he went. Number two, he taught. Number three, he preached. And number four, he told us to pray the Lord of the harvest. Let's look at those four things this morning. Verse 35, and Jesus went. Some people say, well, I can just stay home and I can just live Christ. And well, yeah, I say everybody should be living Christ. Like every Christian should be living Christ where they are. That goes without saying. Like my dad was a farmer and he stayed on the farm, but he lived Christ. He'd go to this neighboring farmer and they'd share the Lord with that guy. And this farmer would come over to dad for whatever, to get something or borrow something, and there would be communication about the things of God. Hey. And the next farmer, and whatever, there was constantly, Dad, as a farmer, was living for the Lord and giving sacrificially to missions. And Mom was a school teacher, and she would use the classroom to present the gospel. She'd teach them Christian songs. When Easter would come, she'd teach them about Easter. When Christmas would come, she'd teach them about that. And she loved the kids, and she'd go to their homes and to the reserve and visit in their homes. She loved the kids, and they loved her, and she would go for the purpose of the gospel. So that goes without saying that we should be living Christ in our home, but all, and I would say, how would I put it? Like someone told me recently, like, as parents, we need to see that as our first mission field is our own children, and teaching them the life of Christ, not just knowledge about God or to be Pharisees, like just having an orthodoxy, but to know Christ intimately and have relationship with him, and to teach that to our children. You must surrender to God and walk with God. God requires that of you, and he will bless you if you do, and you will suffer the consequences if you don't. And then demonstrate that and model that for our children. This is our first mission field. And our second one is our neighbor. And we need to draw the neighbor in. And it's interesting, we prayed and prayed and prayed, Lord, where would you have us to move? And God brought us to Shelbrooke, Saskatchewan. And at first I thought that was a big cross. We didn't know a soul there. Like, that's a huge change for us. But you know what? God put beside us a couple that isn't living for God that love to help us. And when we're gone on these trips, they look after our house. Every other day, they'll go in the house and make sure the furnace is going. And we try to do stuff back, and it seems like we can't do anything back for them. And they're just, like, they're a shacked up couple. And when I found that out, that they weren't married, I said, well, I could marry you. It's one thing I could do. But they weren't interested. So we just began to just love them and invite them over for coffee and invite them over for meals. And this week, you know what they did? They said, we'd like to go and show you the area where he used to farm. She's about 72 and he's about 85 and more than half blind. And they were going to show us. So I said, I need to do something in Prince Albert. It's about half an hour away. And after that, we can do that. And so I phoned at 4 o'clock and I said, we're still in Prince Albert, but we're coming now. Should we go on this thing before supper or after? She said, you can come now. So I thought, oh, that's not much time. We jump in the vehicle and they go and they take us to a Sturgeon Lake over there. We lived on Sturgeon Lake Reserve here for 7 years in Alberta. Well, lo and behold, 25 minutes from us, there's another Sturgeon Lake Indian Reserve. Not far out, like, blow me away. So I got to see it, a hand-given tour, eh? And then they brought us to a park, a public park, just like there's a public park at the one in Alberta, there's a public park over here. And then she says, well, this is a good place. And they stop and they bring out a cooler, and it's like, what? You planned a supper? We knew nothing about it. And she gives us this fancy supper. They don't even know the Lord. And the Lord is building the relationship of friendship, and across that, we want the shared gospel to go. And the irony is, one day, when I was visiting them alone, like, Evelyn wasn't with me, she said, I used to go to a Pentecostal church. In fact, I used to teach Sunday school, and I could have fallen off my chair. I'm thinking, why aren't you living it? What happened that you're not living up to the light that you know? And I have still to learn what happened. I don't know what happened, but something has happened in that life of tragedy that she's not walking in the light that she knew. But we need to tell our children and win them to the Lord and disciple them, but we also need to bring in our neighbors, eh? And we also need to, the next part there in the went, like Jesus going, is it says that he went to all the cities and villages. And I thought about that some time ago. And I thought, did I really say all? And I had to go and hunt for it and find it. It says all the cities and villages. Can you imagine how astounding that is? All of them. All of them. And I'm thinking, how many villages are there here in the prairie provinces that don't have a church yet? We've been seeking, like we reach out to many tribes, but one of them is the Dene tribe, otherwise known as Chipewyan. By the way, don't use the word Chipewyan with Dene people. A Dene man who took me on that trip told me that's a Cree word that's derogatory. So I don't use that for them anymore. I use Dene now instead of Chip. But I lost my thought. There are many villages in the north, Dene villages, where we, through 50 years or 60 years of ministry, have been unable to plant a church among the Dene tribe to this date. Who will tell them? Here there are lots of Christians in this church. I don't know how many there are, but there's lots. And then sometimes I think, well, couldn't the church spare one couple to go that could talk to those four communities up there? You know what I mean? Like, I think like that as a missionary. When I go to church, couldn't the church spare one to go not just to one community, but they would have several? Or if we had four couples, one per community, to live there and demonstrate and live Christ. As Jesus went, it says, and this is the second point, we learn to go, but we learn to teach. We don't just sit here and live it, say, well, I'll just be quiet, but I'll just live it. Would that work if you didn't know the gospel and someone wanted to win you, if you said nothing? Jesus is the main missionary, and he opened his mouth, and he taught. And he preached. That's the third point. So what is the difference between teaching and preaching? Turn with me to Luke 24. We'll be coming back there. You can keep your finger there, but Luke 24. Teaching is explaining. It's expounding. It's helping people to understand. And I felt like stealing one of Frank Parker's pictures this morning and bringing it here as a demo, and then I forgot to steal it. Downstairs, he has a picture of the people walking, well, Jesus walking with the two on the way to Emmaus. And if we look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures." So he starts in Genesis and then goes to Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and so on and so forth. And I noticed this morning downstairs you have the names of the Bible books all around the church, right from Genesis, which is here in your church, all the way around to Revelation, which is here. Jesus went and he expounded about himself through all those books. Isn't that neat? That is teaching. That is expounding. That's how Jesus did it. All the scriptures, those things concerning himself. So what do you point out about Genesis? You point to Christ. What do you point out about Exodus? You point to Christ. What do you point out, and so on, all the way through to Malachi, which is where I understand you folks are now. The New Testament was not yet written at this time. They were living the New Testament. Christ had not died yet. So the New Testament was not yet written, but the scriptures that were given, that's what he expounded. And if you look on the next column, it says in verse 44, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things which must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses." He had died already by here and risen again. I'll read it again, verse 44. "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms." Concerning who? Again, it's concerning Christ here, concerning Christ here, concerning Christ here. That's how he taught. Look at the next verse. Verse 45. Then he opened their understanding. He's tying this with this and explaining it, and all the lights start going on in their mind. Oh, that's what it meant. Oh, that's why that had to happen. That's teaching. And we need to be teaching. So whether you have a Bible coffee like my mom used to do in the farmhouse with unsaved ladies, she's explaining the Word of God to the neighbors. Explaining. Or whether we have itinerant preachers, or we have a Sunday school class downstairs, or a cabin of boys at the Bible camp, we're explaining, we're expounding like that. That was the second thing. So he went, he taught, and he preached. This is the third one, back to Matthew. He preached. And when we think of preaching, there it's this. It is proclaiming. It is convincing. It is persuading. And it's in a forceful way. I'm not really a gifted preacher. That isn't really my forte. It is Dave Petka's. He's a dynamic, deeper life preacher. That's his gifting. But we must proclaim. This is the truth. And that's not popular in our culture or in our generation to say, this is the truth. And this is the only way. And it's not a bigoted or a narrow-minded way. God doesn't owe anyone a way to heaven, but he provided one at huge cost to himself and free to us. He is very generous. He is not narrow-minded. Like I recently heard, in fact it was this week, one person from Slave Lake said, God needs attitude change or attitude lift or something like attitude adjustment. How sad. No, we need the attitude adjustment, majorly. We need to come in step with God, and we need to proclaim it wherever we go. When I was looking, and I would take you to those places, but for lack of time, I won't. In the beginning, when Jesus began to preach, he preached repentance, and he preached to believe in the gospel. I can take you to those scriptures. I was going to, but I won't for lack of time. And the third thing he preached was that we should follow him and he would make us to become fishers of men. Those three things. Repentance means that we agree with God about what God has said, that he is holy, that I am a sinner, that Christ is the only way, that I must surrender in lordship, to his lordship in my life. We must preach that we must believe the gospel. Follow him. It's not optional. If you want to follow me, no, he requires us to. And if we don't, we'll have to give answer on Judgment Day. Okay. And the last thing, the fourth thing. So there's going, teaching, preaching, and the last thing is he teaches us to pray. Verse 37. Then saith he. Who's he? He is the one who made everything. He's the one who made me. He's the one who gave me the mouth that I could go tell others, eh? He's the one who says he is Jehovah Jireh. I think many do not want to go into missions because they don't know. They don't want to let go of a paycheck or of their home or their family or whatever. But the rest who stay, which is the majority of the church, can encourage them. Trust the Lord. We will stand with you. We will pray with you. We will give to you. Eh? So it's not just to our family, it's not just to our neighbor, it's not just to the next towns, but it's wherever the world over. They also need to be reached, and I believe all of these steps are incumbent upon us. I can reach my family, I can tell my neighbor, everyone can. We can go to the next town because it's within reach. We can't all go overseas or a couple provinces over, but we can support those who do. We can be praying for them, we can phone them, we can encourage them, we can visit them occasionally. You wouldn't know how much that encourages someone when they get a visit from home. That's hugely encouraging. And Mike and Daphne Dendy just sent us an email. They're going to come visit us in Shelbrook. We're so excited about that. We can send emails. We can send gifts. we can send things in kind. Recently, somebody gave us a bunch of moose meat, and he's not a native guy. He's a white guy. yesterday, a chiropractor fixed my back. I was in such pain. And I was lying there, and he said to me, what did God teach you today? He said, ask your missionaries, what did God teach you today? And you're on the spot. Did I have my devotions or not, hey? What did God tell me? And then he said, ask them, how are you suffering for Christ? And he didn't mean like an ache in the back. He meant things like, do you know how Jesus came and he was smitten and spat upon and he hadn't done anything bad? And in that condition, he didn't retort, but he loved and gave his life. How are you suffering for the cause of Christ today? And I would ask all of us, how are we suffering for Christ today? And then he prayed for me. I'm lying on the table there yesterday, and he prayed for me. I was so thankful and grateful. He was so encouraging. And then he said to me, and by the way, you can just walk out the door. You don't need to pay. I usually pay there, but he helped me, and I'm thankful. When I think of praying, like he prayed for me, when I think of pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers, you know what, why that's so important? It is my tendency to want to go and convince somebody, go to the mission field. We have so many, I can take you to people by name and villages by name, but I can't make this person go or that person or that person. I'd sure love to, I would. It has to be, and I've told my wife this again and again, it has to be that God pulls the people to come into missions and to stay in it in the long haul. Like Paul was in the mission field year after year after year, right? Short term won't cut it. You can't do it in 2 weeks. You just can't. You can't even begin to learn the language, never mind the culture, or build those friendships. Short missions is good, but it's not going to win the day in the end of the day. Some long-term missionary has gone there and built relationships and learned the language and learned the culture. And if they all, you know, get old and die off this end of the conveyor belt, these short-terms will have nowhere to go because those guys are gone. We need new ones to come on the conveyor belt and take the baton. Okay? So pray that God, like as you look around your congregation, think, okay, who here is suited for that portion of the vineyard? Not the giving, but the going? Who could do that? And maybe just go up to them and say, I've been praying for you. Well, first do pray, but say, I've been praying for you. Would you consider giving your life to missions? And then, as a church, ask, you know, could we support this guy, or at least partially support this person? Because our mission is greatly aging, greatly. I mean, I'm already 55. I have trifocals and full dentures and both knees operated on and going to the chiropractor. We need younger people to join us, and there are very few. I think we had one person come up to the interview stage in this whole year in our mission, but quite a few dropped off the end. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if many are dying and becoming too crippled that they can't be here and none are coming, then we can't be flying the airplanes and running the Bible camps and the printing presses and going to the villages and stuff like that. So I just challenge you to pray the Lord of the harvest that God would put it in their heart to come and God would put it in their heart to stay. And that's what I believe is the call of God. That when they are in the mission field and times get tough, like there's, you know, a month where just $1,000 comes in to feed their family and put gas in their tank and pay their mortgage, that they don't give up and go home. But you know, God's call is on me. I must proclaim the gospel. And they hang in there. That's the call of God. Pray for that kind of a call of God to bring people into missions and to sustain them year after year after year till they are so old that they cannot. And they come home from the mission field and retire. Okay? You follow? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth reapers into his mission field, because the harvest is white. Like, there's lots of places to harvest, but the reapers, there isn't even one per village right now. And I want to show you four of those villages at this time. So if you can put on that Northern Saskatchewan thing. And I'll just come there to, this one isn't a PowerPoint. If the, you can turn off the lights, please. Can I do this one here?
Yep.
Okay. It's, this is going north, and, this is going north to Wollaston Lake. Mile after mile after mile. I thought I lived in northern Saskatchewan. These are ice floes in the middle of winter. I didn't know that there was this much Saskatchewan north of us. I thought I was kind of northern Saskatchewan, being at Prince Albert. Here's the barge, it's out. So now we go on the winter. Ooh. Hey.
Rob's coming back.
Oh, good. It's changing on the computer here, but not on the screen. You're probably wondering why I'm talking the way I am. Can we just start it over? And if it doesn't work, it's okay. That's it, midway. While he's doing this, I'll just say Gilbert is a Dene person who married a white school teacher. He has his carpentry ticket, and they could be making good money as a couple, but they have decided to give their life to missions. So his primary thrust is evangelism, and she works with the finances at headquarters. So he does a bunch of evangelism trips every year to the Dene communities of Canada, and that is... This is great. I think we're on now. Yeah, this is it. Good. So we're going on the road to Wollaston Lake. There's the ice floe. There's the barge. That only takes three vehicles, but over the winter road, we go further and cross the lake further up. And there we go about 40 kilometers. It says road closed, but we went anyway. Over the lake, about 40 kilometers on the lake. That took us quite a while because you can't go too fast until we came to the village. We noticed somebody having trouble in the middle of the lake, but somebody else was helping him. This is the other end where the community is. And this is in the community. And it amazed me how they have what looks like forts all over. I always thought the forts were to keep the native people out, but these are built by the native people. Their culture camp. They live on both sides. That's the bathroom, a 5-gallon pail. There's their sink. This is on top of my bed in the first home we were at, a dream catcher. Another one. The syncretism, native stuff mixed with Catholicism. Over and over. Syncretism. So sad. Two belief systems mixed into one. And a bunch of these in the house. This was Gilbert's bedroom. The sheet was on the window instead of on the bed. Quite beat up homes, some of them. But they need the gospel. These are people for whom Christ died. He loves them. And this is here in Canada, in the prairies, prairie provinces. And these communities have over 1,000 people apiece in them. This is the dry meat they hang on top of the stove. Very tasty, very nutritious, and they were sharing it with us. There are the caribou, four caribou on the kitchen floor. And then we had our caribou feast there. New pickups, because if you have 1,000 kilometers to go and you break down, there's no AMA anywheres around. So they have good vehicles. This is the crack in the ice. When we were in this community, we were told you can't leave. And so we waited, and then God brought that ice back together and froze it. And we were escorted out like this by the former chief. And Gilbert cried. He said, this is the first time my own people have escorted me. And off we went. We had to just race to catch up to him. And off across the ice. It's the road here is 100 feet wide. Those items are 10 feet across from each other. This was the danger area. We went around the... And this is how they travel. It seems like there's as many skidoos as trucks up there. And then through the other barrier. And off we go. And there's an island. And the reason it's... Here we're crossing one of the islands. Back onto the ice again. And it's so wide because of drifting. That's why they open so wide of a road, 100 feet wide. And this is why I realized a two-wheel drive wouldn't make it, because when it drifts shut, what would you do here? It's so narrow. And they'd plowed a little portion open of the 100 feet. And we got through. We went in with a pickup and back to the land and off to the next village. Just a beautiful area. This is his favorite spot. Beautiful, beautiful. That's Gilbert there, my guide, my example. Just loves the people, prays so much for them. This was a trapper we stayed with. He was getting ready to go on a caribou hunt. His little cabin where he stores his stuff. He's from Black Lake, which is a fairly closed community. That used to be the chief. This is Stony Rapids, another community. An abandoned church. Stony Rapids is open year-round. The water flows north of the 49th parallel. All kinds of native artwork. Dilapidated places, some of them, that we stayed in there. That dresser only had one drawer that worked. The night we came there, Gilbert was very sick. And so I took care of him, and so many cross-cultural things to adjust to there. This is the road north to Fond du Lac. Short trees. This is entering Lake Athabasca. Couple hundred kilometers long. This one was 150 feet wide because there's so much wind there. The ice was 22 inches thick the start of our trip. They needed thicker than that for semis to bring in fuel and stuff to last them the whole year. This is the road on the lake. There we went to visit, we stayed with John James. Doesn't know the Lord, an old trapper, 76 years old, very hospitable. Every now and there he is making dry meat that he can eat without teeth. And behind him are a couple $1,000 worth of fur. He locks his stockade at night, and then he locks his house at night, and then he locks the door to the basement at night. He's afraid of being robbed. This is from inside his living room looking out. Lots of stockades. It just surprised me to see that. That's from outside looking into his place. We drove through that opening in the gate and then locked it behind ourselves. That opening right there. And this is here in Canada, in the Prairie Provinces. People don't know the Lord there. They need somebody to come and live there and to tell them about Jesus. otherwise they die generation after generation. I come from a farm, and this lady likes roosters. That shocked me. I counted them. She had about 100 3D roosters. Never mind all the flat ones, like on pictures and tablecloth and whatever else. But these people need the Lord. Who will tell them about Jesus? You can switch it off. I want to close with one story and one poem. When I was at Missions Fest, I stayed with a lady who is 85 years old and her husband is 95. She said to me, soon we won't be able to stay here in our home. And she used to work with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, and she said, I want you to go and pick whatever you would like and take it. I wonder sometimes how many times Christian books and visual aids and stuff end up in a dump when the seniors die. I felt I was an absolute treasure house. There were visualized songs, visualized verses, visualized story, like phonograph stories, and so on. And then I found this treasure, an old little Bible that she had. You can tell it's well used, eh? And inside was this, a little paper. You can tell it's old. It's yellow. It's frayed. You can tell she loved the Lord. It goes from A all the way to Z. And on here she has memorized verses. So for example, for A, it's, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. C, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then I can see she added extra verses for each letter. She loved the Lord. It was precious. These villages in the north, they don't know the Lord. They won't have this. Hey? You won't find this in their village. It's precious to know God's word and to be able to share it. I want to read this poem. The Four Calls. The Spirit came in childhood and pleaded, let me in. But oh, the door was bolted by thoughtlessness and sin. I am too young, the child replied. I will not yield today. There's time enough tomorrow. The Spirit went away. I wonder how many of our kids are called and we as parents hold them back. Eh? Just by what we show them to be important in life. Whether it's things or sports or whatever it is. Again he came and pleaded in youth's bright happy hour. He came but heard no answer. For lured by Satan's power, the youth lay dreaming then and saying, not today, nor till I've tried earth's pleasures. The Spirit went away. Again he called in mercy in manhood's vigorous prime. But still he found no welcome. The merchant had no time. No time for true repentance. No time to think or pray. And so repulsed and saddened, the Spirit went away. I wonder how many times God's Spirit calls to the evangelical church at large and is turned down and turned down and turned down. And the ranks on this conveyor become thinner and thinner. Eh? The last stanza. Once more he called and waited. The man was old and ill. He scarcely heard the whisper. His heart was cold and still. Go leave me. When I need thee, I'll call for thee, he cried. Then sinking low on his pillow, without a hope, he died. God is still calling that we reach our family, we reach our neighbor, we go to the next town, but we also reach the world. It's incumbent upon, it rests squarely on the Christian's shoulder, the church's shoulder, to do that. And I commend you for how you are reaching your families and reaching Edmonton. But there are also communities up north that need the Savior too, here in our own provinces. And so the call goes out. Thank you.